Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SS&C Alps Advisors 14ers podcast. My name is Rob McClure. I'm the director of research at Alps, and I'm joined today by one of my colleagues, Chris Proctor, who is our fixed income strategist. And the star of the show today is Greg Steyer, who is the portfolio manager for the Alps Intermediate Municipal Bond ETF, as well as serving as co-head of fixed income for Brown Brothers Harriman. So welcome, you guys.
Thanks, Rob. It's good to be here. And welcome, Greg.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Rob.
So we've got some... The primary reason we're recording this today is we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of the ETF, ticker symbol MNBD, and we're very happy to report that the first year was a good start. For the year ending May 20th, the total return for the fund was 4.68% versus the benchmark Bloomberg 1-to-15-year municipal index, which returned 3.84%. So this is great, and 1 year is a relatively short time frame. But as we get to know Greg, we'll talk a little bit about he's been managing a strategy that's very similar in the mutual fund format for 9 years or so, with very good results there as well. So congratulations, Greg, on the first year of performance. And then also, just wanted to mention that Greg was recently in Denver to accept the 2023 InvestNet Award for Best Fixed Income Manager of the Year for BBH's Intermediate Muni Bond Fund. So, Greg, great to have you with us. And I'll turn it over to Chris, who has some questions about how it's going with the fund and what you're seeing in the markets.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Kudos to you, Greg, and your team, first of all, for a super first year managing MNBD and the deserved accolades that you received for some of the other mutual funds that you manage in this same format. So I think I'd like to start off with, this has been a challenging environment, and you've delivered impressive results, but how have you been able to manage the fund with this type of volatility continuing?
Hi, happy to be here once again. Launching the ETF was definitely one of our team's highlights in 2022. In municipals, valuations are often disconnected from their underlying fundamentals, and periods of high volatility exacerbate this. It's always been our belief that a patient, selective, value-based strategy is an effective way to take advantage of muni market inefficiencies. As a reminder, for our strategy, we seek to own a limited number of durable credits that provide attractive yields. But beyond our credit and valuation work, there are two other very important aspects to our strategy. First, we try not to get caught up in the swings of investor sentiment. And second, we often emphasize securities that fall outside the comfort zone of household muni buyers. And it's this approach which has allowed us to consistently add value for our clients over the long run.
Yeah, Greg, this strategy looks to be very different, an active strategy rather than the passive index-based ones that are out there. Are there any examples of how you might be different than the index?
Our portfolios bear little resemblance to our benchmarks. We try to avoid the crowds, and we own a lot of bonds with non-standard coupon structures that are either not in our benchmarks or that only comprise a small share. For example, the 20% cash and floating rate note position that we own in the ETF today is entirely out of index. Beyond that, we own about 13% in zero coupon bonds, 24% in State Housing Finance Authorities. Together, these areas represent less than 5% of our benchmark. We also recently added a position in a New Jersey delayed delivery bond that doesn't settle until next year. Delayed delivery bonds are another category that are not included in our index. So I hope this gives you a good flavor for how different the ETF looks.
Yes, it does, Greg. Okay, so security selection is a differentiator. But can you tell us a little bit more about maybe the more interest rate sensitive exposures in the portfolio and your duration posturing?
Life would certainly be much easier if we could reliably forecast changes in interest rates, but unfortunately we can't. So we try to keep our portfolio duration near that of the market. If a client hires us for an intermediate assignment, we invest with an intermediate duration. Again, we focus on finding value at the individual security level and build our portfolios one bond at a time. Macro forecasting has no bearing on how we invest.
Great. So you're not specifically making, you know, macro directional bets. But given the current yield curve shape and the macro backdrop, you know, that we're in, are you emphasizing or de-emphasizing certain positioning along the curve?
With today's unusually shaped yield curve, we've had to be very mindful of our choice of maturities. And it's probably no surprise that valuations play a central role in how we think about it. Normally, the muni yield curve is upward sloping and steeper than the treasury curve, but today it looks much different. The muni yield curve is inverted out to five-year maturities, then it's fairly flat from there out to the 10-year, and then it starts to slope upward. If there are any astronomy buffs in the audience, it almost looks like the Big Dipper, but with the handle on the right. With today's yield curve shape, we're emphasizing both short and long maturities at the expense of the middle. We already mentioned the ETF's large cash and floater position. In longer maturities, we tend to own a lot of zero coupon bonds. It's difficult today for us to get excited about investing at the low point of the yield curve between 5 and 10 year maturities.
Yeah, it's a strange yield curve, for sure. I liked how you explain that. So does this barbell strategy, if I heard you right, and sort of the security selection that we talked about earlier, does it result in any sort of yield advantage versus an index or a passive approach?
Maybe before we answer that, we could take a step back. And I think we were fortunate to launch the ETF when we did. We've had high levels of market volatility, record forced selling, and a decompression of credit spreads, which have generated a wide range of opportunities since last spring. Frankly, our team loves conditions like this. And I think we do some of our best work when market conditions are tough. Leaning into opportunities in a year like 2022, it definitely tests your courage and your discipline, but the investments you make during times like that typically generate strong performance benefits over time. That's been our experience. Currently, the gross yield of the ETF is a little over 4%, which is about 80 basis points higher than its index. We find this yield to be very attractive, and we didn't have to sacrifice credit quality to get there.
Well, it sounds very reassuring that to some that you haven't had to sacrifice credit quality to get, you know, an attractive yield like that. But there's, you know, a lot of people out there that say we may be headed into a recession. Do you think the muni market is prepared for that?
We'd say historically, municipals have been the most resilient credit sector during economic downturns, with default rates only a small fraction of that in corporate bonds. We view our credits as well positioned to withstand a potential recession. The economy was on extremely strong footing when the Fed began raising rates a year ago. So strong, in fact, that the Fed probably had to go faster and further than they initially anticipated, and they may not be done. States are sitting on top of record rainy day fund balances, and sales tax collections are at record highs. Property taxes are the largest revenue source for local governments, with a proven stability through economic cycles. The nation's airports, which are historically prone to economic swings, are still sitting on piles of cash and benefiting from robust passenger volumes. Lastly, as we've written in our commentaries, the healthcare sector has been experiencing some headwinds, but we've still found opportunities in a select group of strong names. So, by and large, we view municipal credit as still looking decent.
Hey, that's great, Greg. Good answer. I think you've given us a good look into the fund strategy and its positioning and some of its differentiations. Let's shift gears here for the last couple minutes. Can you spend some time talking about your fixed income outlook and then maybe the muni market in specific?
Sure. There's no question that managing through nearly a decade of the Fed's zero interest rate policy after the financial crisis gave me second thoughts about my career choice. But I'm happy to report that bonds are back and the municipal market looks very good to us. Rarely have we witnessed such broad opportunities. We have the highest yields in over 10 years, and bonds can once again provide attractive income, better stability in a client asset allocation, and liquidity. With the record debts that the federal government has incurred in recent years, it's difficult to imagine that tax rates are going to go down from here. And in that context, today's municipal yields look even better.
Well, as a fixed income specialist, I'm glad to hear that bonds are back. Last question, Greg. Even more granular, are there still muni market attractive opportunities that you're finding?
I think this year has continued right where 2022 left off, with high volatility, lots of uncertainty. We still have an inflation problem. And since March, we also have some financial system stability concerns. Although the economy has proven resilient so far, recession risks are rising. A few years ago, unprecedented stimulus measures in response to COVID placed a giant Band-Aid on credit risk. But we don't see policymakers riding to the rescue this time. Because there's no easy path to solve today's challenges, we expect elevated market volatility to continue. When we invest, we often focus on niches of the muni market. We also try to avoid buying into the optimism of good times, and we tend to be very active when sentiment is poor. And just like last year, our team remains very excited about the wide range of opportunities in front of us.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chris, and thanks, Greg. This is Rob. I just wanted to kind of wrap things up by saying that, number one, congratulations to the team for the outstanding first year. We're really excited at SS&C Alps to be partnered with BBH and look forward to many more years of great performance from the team. And, you know, something that this group has delivered over the years for BBH's clients going back several years. So keep up the great work, Greg, and hopefully you'll come back and see us and we can do this again in the near future. Thanks, both of you. Just one last housekeeping item I just wanted to mention. If anybody would like to learn more about the fund, please do visit us at alpsfunds.com or give us a call at 1-866-759-5679. With that, we'll wrap it up, and thanks, everybody, again, and we'll see you next time.